Unit 38, that's a 10-1, that's half 36. Copy, that's 1-4, show us on route, ETA 2 minutes.
Welcome to Running Code, the podcast where you, the viewer, get to know a little bit more about us, the men and women of the Newport News, Virginia Police Department. Hello, Melissa. Good
to
see you.
How are you, Morgan? It's good to see you, too.
I am doing very well, and I am very excited about our guest today.
I am, too. This is actually going to be really, really fun. We've got a good one here today, folks. One of our dispatchers, one of our career dispatchers, is here with us. Val, you want to tell everybody who you are and what you do for the department?
Yes, thank you for having me. My name is Valerie Atkinson, and I've been with the department for, this is my 25th year.
Wow.
I work in dispatch. I'm a supervisor slash training coordinator for the department.
So when do you hit your 25th year?
May 22nd.
Ooh. Right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's incredible. Val.
It's hard to believe,
yeah. So tell us a little bit about you and kind of your background. Where are you from? How'd you get to Virginia?
Originally, I was born in Massachusetts. I am from North Carolina, though.
Really?
So I came here from the military. My husband was military. He was Navy. So when we came here.
Okay. So that brought you to the East Coast?
Yes.
Or here, at least?
Mm-hmm. We were all over.
Wow. So you arrived to the East Coast. You start working when you arrive?
I have three children, so I was with them, but I've worked the whole time, yes.
Right. And did you always have an idea that you were going to be a dispatch? How did that happen?
No, never.
So how did
never
it happen?
Never thought of it, never entered my head.
Then how did it become?
I was working as a manager for 7-Eleven and security for Riverside at the same time. But while I was working, I just kept having interaction with officers, and Mike Hudgens, he kept talking to me about it.
Right.
It was like, do a ride along.
Wow.
See what we do.
Wow.
And I really wanted to be a police officer, I thought.
Right. And Mike Hudgens is a retired captain.
Yes.
And now is a chief of police in North Carolina, where
yes.
you're originally from.
Yes.
Wow.
Not far from where my parents lived.
No way.
Wow.
Not far.
Turnabout is fair play.
Not
look at that.
Not far at all.
Wow. So he talks to you about potentially becoming a police officer.
Yes.
And did you do that ride along?
I did do the ride along. And we actually got in a pursuit the night of the ride along. Best thing ever. Talk about hooked. He was like, make sure your seatbelt is clipped all the way. And I wasn't riding with him. I was riding with an officer from downtown.
Okay.
And he spotted a stolen car, and we were in Hampton, next thing I knew.
Wow. And did they make an apprehension?
They did.
Wow.
Just
exciting.
Dogs were out. It was just like the best.
Just that quickly. That's how it happens.
Yeah.
That's how it happens. So you thinking about getting into law enforcement? You're thinking about
I was thinking about it. I applied. I didn't get over the wall.
Oh, the physical agility wall?
The physical wall, because it was, you know, the slats were running the other way then.
Right.
It was really tall to the eye. So I didn't make it. However, I had also applied in dispatch. And they called. I went. And I fell in love. And then I had other people show me how to get over the wall. So I could have done it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been a great police officer.
Yeah. But no doubt in my mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But this is my life.
You had already fallen in love.
I love it.
Yeah. You wouldn't do it any other way?
No.
That's incredible.
Just do it sooner.
Right.
Just do it sooner if I had known.
So what is it about dispatch that hooked you?
Yeah.
Is there anything like in particular that kind of grabbed on to you?
I didn't realize I was an adrenaline junkie like I was. And then I realized I didn't want anybody to hit me.
Mm.
Or I didn't want to fight anybody, especially somebody sweaty and naked.
Right.
No, I would stay in the nice air conditioning.
Right.
And give everything I can to the people that call.
And you've enjoyed it ever since.
I have.
And so tell us a little bit about what you've done, what positions you've held while in 911.
I started in May of 2000, and there was no police academy then, or no dispatcher academy. So they put me straight on the floor with the training coordinator for a couple days. And then it was straight with my trainer on midnight shift.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was on midnight shift for several years. And then I was trained within the first year. They put me out by myself, and I was like, no, I am not ready. But I had the most amazing trainer. The most amazing people were in there working, and I just kept looking at them as a trainee going, I want to be like them.
Wow, what a compliment.
I want to be a big girl. I mean, because our 911 manager now, she was there on the radio. And I was just like, wow. But they were all, and everybody was so confident. And when things happened, everything just ran smooth.
Right.
So, I mean, it was a different world then. Because the supervisor didn't learn your name when you first came.
Right.
You were that girl. Right. Hey, girl. Hey, girl. So
you really had to prove yourself.
You definitely had to prove yourself
through your work.
Yes.
Wow. So you're on the radio, the phones. What are you doing at that point?
The first day we were on the phones, and my first couple of calls, we had a robbery. So it was. She was like, "Say what I say. Do what I say."
Wow.
Okay.
The parroting method.
Yes.
Yeah. It Talk was about the parroting on the method. Job, on it the was job on training. The job.
But my trainer, Margaret, was the best. She was so confident, so patient.
Right.
And everything just, it was amazing.
And to this day, you still think about her.
Yes.
Wow, what a blessing that is to have somebody in
yes,
such
I
an influence.
I never forget her or anybody else that was on the shift, because it's not necessarily you're with one person. She was my trainer. Mm-hmm. However, when she went on vacation, I sat with someone else.
Right.
So there was a lot of influence.
A lot of mentors.
A lot of mentors.
Right. So eventually, at some point, you become a supervisor. How did that come to be?
2009.
Okay.
I became a supervisor. I started training my second year there. And I put in for supervisor. And they wanted me. And I was like, wow.
Wait. So you had been there 2 years. You had, and I won't say master because things always change, but you had gotten so good at it that they had you training other dispatchers.
I won't say so good. I knew how to do my job. I think the thing is, you have to know how to talk to people.
Mm.
And you have to know how to treat people, right?
Sure.
Because not everybody can be a dispatcher, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have so many good people that come, and then some of them cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they realize, this is not for me.
Sure. Right.
Because it's hard working in an environment. It's not very light. We work in the basement of City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
There's no windows.
Right.
You don't have scheduled lunch breaks. You don't have lunch breaks. You eat at your console.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, but you have everybody. And it can take you all day to have a conversation with somebody on the floor.
Right, because it's in bits of...
You keep getting
the calls dropped in.
Right. Because
when I started, of course, you had to pick up the phone. There was an actual phone. And now it just drops in your ear.
Right.
So, I mean, the technology has been amazing to see.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because there was only 2 computers when I started, and we have 6 now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, and it's ever growing.
And we've been in City Hall for over 40 years now.
Yes.
And there's plans for us to eventually leave City Hall and move somewhere where we have that natural sunlight and all those things that really would benefit the folks who are working in that center. So that's in the works, thank goodness.
I tell you, this city, if it's not going to do anything, it's going to move. It's going to move forward.
We're good like that. We're lucky like that we have people in leadership positions that think about those things, you know, inner visionaries.
Yeah, so. I hope to see it. I really do.
Yeah.
Because they deserve it.
Yes.
Because it's not about me or what I've done. It's about bringing other people in and helping them become.
Yes.
And
successful.
Fall in love with it,
mm-hmm.
because we're ultimately here to help everybody in the community.
That's absolutely. Right. And for transparency, I happen to work with you, and I've been working with you for over 3 years now. I think October will be 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I understood dispatch. I thought I had a pretty good grasp of it until I embedded myself in the 911 center as an employee and the commander of the 911 center. And only then did I really begin to learn how complex the work is and how complicated it can be and how it affects you mentally and emotionally, some of the calls that you hear, because you are the first outcry.
Right.
People call us when they're having, you know, 911, when they're having a crisis. And we do, in fact, send people to help them out, whether it's fire, medic, an ambulance. But the bottom line is, dispatchers are the first of the first responders. We, you know, we get it first.
I tell you, I don't understand the conversation around that.
I don't understand it either.
It being something that goes back and forth. Where, you know, can you share a little bit about where we are with the dispatchers?
With the movements.
Mm-hmm.
I got the opportunity to go with the 911 manager, Laura McCartney, to Washington. Ashley Bradshaw went with us as well from day shift, and it was her first time.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually get to meet congresspeople. You have to make appointments prior. Mm-hmm. And you talk with them and you're talking to them about all the technology. But the biggest kill of it is because it would give dispatchers 25-year retirement.
That's it.
Yeah. And it's money.
Right.
Yeah. And
it's
that's
a money game.
Right. Well, that the I think right now our retirement is 30 for 911.
Yes.
And that would make it 25 years. And that would be a great thing because it would put it equal on the playing field with law enforcement.
Correct.
And also the mental health benefits and all those things that come along with it. So, we're not public safety right now in 911, but I think the future is that we're going to be public safety.
Where we're
I know that our leadership in the city of Newport News is very supportive of
yes.
that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So very blessed. So now you become a supervisor, and then eventually you transition to the training coordinator.
Yes.
And your responsibility really is to make sure that everyone in that center, every single employee, to include Morgan Tejans, is up to speed
on training.
On training, and what we need to do to maintain our certifications. Like that is no easy task, Valerie. How do you juggle all that?
You have so much stuff flagged in your email on your calendar. You have to double, triple check. You do.
Right.
Most people know when their stuff is coming up for expiration, but they have like three different systems, and then I have to put all the certificates in each.
Mm. Wow.
But that's
Have you always been somebody that's been very, very, very good at multitasking, or is that something you've developed over time?
Regular multitasking, yes. Dispatcher multitasking, I think it's a learned skill.
It is.
And you get faster and faster.
Okay.
Wow. And it's by priority. What's the most important that I need to take care of?
What's right important now?
When?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you, I don't know how you are with computer systems, but I could not be a radio operator or a call taker. Hard work.
I don't think so. It's always amazed me that you guys can take a call that can be like the most serious thing a police officer sees in a day, mm-hmm. and then you guys roll right into the next thing.
Yeah.
So being able to kind of compartmentalize, because you don't have time. That's always amazing. Mm-hmm. I have to get to the call for service and I got to work that thing A to Z. I need to see the outcome. So just watching you guys roll right through.
Yeah. And a phone call, Valerie, may drop into your ear as soon as you hang up that other one, correct?
Yes, before you're done with the other one. Yes.
Right. Whereas before we used to have to pick up the telephone, now it simply drops in your ear.
It just drops.
Wow.
So you may go from a call where somebody's asking you for information on how to get to, I don't know, the magistrate's office to a life or death call.
Definitely.
Wow.
Definitely.
That is absolutely incredible.
And you don't have time to think about it after that call because something else has already dropped
in. Right.
So you go on to the next one.
You go on
so
to the next
So for that reason, you're so appreciative when a supervisor calls down and says, hey, Val, this is the result of this call.
Yes.
It gives you that finality, if you will.
Wow.
Right. So for those folks who are watching out there who want to get involved in public safety but don't want to be in the field and maybe you're thinking about this particular job here, 911 radio operator, call to you. What advice would you give them?
Stop watching 911 Emergency. Not that it's not a great show, because it is amazing.
Right.
But that's not real life.
Okay.
Real life in a 911 center is chaotic at times. It's always loud.
Right.
There's always things going on in different sections. It is busy. Everything on TV is clean. It is white clean.
It's a studio.
It's a Sanitized. Studio. It's not like that in real life. People are loud. Sometimes they have to yell across the room to say, hey, did you get this? Did you get that?
Right.
It's busy. But we do have times when it's not as busy.
Right. But Valerie Atkinson enjoys busy.
I love busy.
I know that.
I love busy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Valerie, listen, I can't even thank you enough for coming in today because my excitement is in the fact that I feel like I'm part of the 911 Center, right? I'm part of this incredible team. And so I want to kind of get this message out there that if you're in law enforcement and if you want to be in law enforcement, public safety, but you don't want to be in the field, this is really an opportunity for them to help. And we're constantly hiring. Right now, we're not hiring because we're training the people that just graduated from the academy. But otherwise, we're always accepting applications, right? So for me, it's excitement to be here with you. You know, it's selfish reasons as well. So thanks for coming in. We really appreciate it. Matt, how are we doing on time? I think we got time for more questions, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So one of the interesting things is...
I think I know where you're going.
Go ahead. You go with it.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I heard three kids. So mom working that's already, you know, amazing. But you have a spouse that maybe me and Morgan have worked with over the years.
Maybe just a few times.
We may have worked with him a few times. Can you tell us about who your husband is and how we may have worked with him?
I'm not sure. he's a man of his own. I'm married to Harry, of course, Harry Atkinson.
Good man.
Good man. Yes. Best man. He treats me like a queen.
Wow.
He does.
That does not surprise me, Valerie.
And he has the funniest person. He makes me laugh. If he did not make me laugh, this would not work.
Right.
But he is hilarious.
Right. And he's a lieutenant with us.
Yes.
And he's the night watch commander.
Yes, sir.
While the chief is home getting a little bit of sleep, as he doesn't sleep very much, he's out there keeping the troop safe.
He's waking the chief up. He's waking up.
I feel like he may enjoy that a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, is there ever an instance where you and your husband are communicating by radio for calls and things like that? Has that ever happened?
Well, before he was my husband, of course, yes, because we worked together for a lot of years, and I never thought ever I would marry a police officer.
Right.
No, that was not happening.
Right.
But
it is
definitely a skill. I knew him from work and talking to him on the phone.
Right.
But that man turned my world upside down.
Oh, that's
and
so sweet, Valerie.
And he has been the best father for my kids.
Oh, that's so sweet.
He's there for the kids. He's there for the grandkids. And he's there for me. We can talk about work, and then we let it go.
Wow. Right. That must be so such a release that
it
you're
is.
Able to do that and bounce things off of each other. That's
and
so important.
He likes to fix. But sometimes you have to tell him, I don't need you to fix it.
Right.
I just need you to listen.
Yeah, I've heard that one before. Yeah.
Imagine that.
I've heard that one before. My wife has told me the same thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So listen, I have something that I'm very curious about.
Okay.
25 years you've been doing this, and you've heard all kinds of calls for service. Mm-hmm. Is there a call for service without disclosing any kind of, you know, confidential information that really left a lasting impression on you and made you rethink things to a certain degree? Is there anything that's happened like that?
There's been a lot of calls, a lot of things happened on the radio before. I know my first year when I was still a trainee, I was at the end of my fire training, and I took a call one night from a child that was 5, and his parent had shot themselves.
Oh, wow.
And the gunshot woke him up.
Wow.
I cannot forget him ever.
Wow.
I know his name, you know, everything.
Wow.
But that was hard.
Yeah.
Especially to go home. You have to remember to go home and hug the ones you have at home.
That part.
Right.
You've got to love them while you have them.
Right.
Right.
Because they're not here forever.
Right. And that was a very hard love lesson to learn, I take it, early in your life. Yeah.
And I never forget it.
Yeah.
I never forget there's somebody that's calling. They're calling us for a reason.
Right.
Right.
And we have to deal with it. We don't need to get caught up with the drama.
Right.
Because sometimes people are not nice.
Sure.
Since COVID, people have not been nice on the phone.
Mm. Not always, huh?
But they're calling because they need us.
Right. And you never forget that.
No, you can't.
No matter what. Even if the folks that call are in such a crisis that they're yelling because that's, you know, from their emotions, you are still their voice. You're still their ear for their voice.
You have to de-escalate so you can get what you need. You have to have an address.
Right.
And now we have technology that if your phone is older or an older phone, no, we still can't track you.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
if it's a newer phone, we can track it.
Right.
So there is technology. We can generally pinpoint where you are.
Right.
However, we need you to confirm it because it might be wrong.
Right. So you have to ask the who, what, where, why.
Always. Five questions.
So having dealt with situations like that, what is most gratifying for you? Like what, when you walk away at the end of the day after putting in a hard day's work, what tells Valerie, I'm coming back tomorrow and I'm doing this again?
If I'm in the training aspect, running the training academy and having an academy, those are hard, long days.
Sure.
They really are. And with that, I think it's just seeing them grow.
Right.
And just when they do something right and they know how to do it, I think it's amazing. Because you're passing on a legacy.
Yeah.
Somebody has to do this because we're not all going to stay forever.
Yeah.
At some point, I'm going to retire. So I don't know when, but at some point, right? At some point, I'll retire.
Yeah.
But you need to know that 911 is going to be taken care of. That the people you are training and leaving behind, they've got it.
Yeah, they're the future.
They're the future. It's not about me. I've been here 25 years.
Right.
It's about them.
Still enjoying it every day.
Yes.
I mean, that's so incredible.
Yep. And on the radio or on the phones, when you've had a hard day, and I tell my trainees this in the academy, some days you're going to get in your car and you're going to just turn it on and you're going to turn the music down and you're just going to sit there. But you need to realize, even if everything did not go 100%, I did the best I could today.
Mm. Yeah.
I did a good job. I'm proud of me.
And you helped someone.
Yeah.
You helped
Ultimately,
someone.
You did help somebody.
Right. And that is our purpose.
Yeah,
I mean,
we don't get to meet and all of that. But you know deep down, you're making a difference in somebody's life.
And you always talk about the why, right?
Yes.
We have some great conversations.
Yes.
Right there. You always talk about the why. What is my why?
Yes.
And that you have to understand this in our profession, right? Police, fire, 911, we have to understand our why. And when we understand our why, our days get a little bit easier because we realize that the struggle that we're going through today, and by the way, folks, we do struggle too, we're going to get through this and we're going to lean on each other. Okay, my why is to help people. And if that means I got to hurt a little bit to help somebody, that's just the way it's going to be.
Right.
I raised my right hand, you raised your right hand, you did, and we swore to certain things. It might be tough on us sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah. So I admire you. You know that, Val. I think you're one of the best. One of the best. I know, but you're wonderful. Matt, are we heading towards rapid fire?
Sure, we can head that way.
All right, sounds good. Would you do the honors?
I would love to. This is going to be fun.
All right.
Because I think Val likes to read, yes?
Mm-hmm. Val loves to read.
Val loves to read. Okay, first rapid fire question. Favorite reading material, magazine, novel, or nonfiction?
I just started reading one. Depends on should it be work related or non.
Do non. Let's do non.
Blossoms in the Winter. It's a bad girl book. It's a romance.
Okay, nothing wrong with that.
Fiction. It's way out there. It's a bad
good
girl
read.
Book.
Good
read. It's a good. That's what matters.
All right. How about you? Anything in particular?
So I have this thing right now. I'm into reading the Harry Potter series with my son.
Wonderful.
And I've read it already a couple of times because I'm just that nerd, but he's getting into it.
Oh,
and
that's
then
cool.
We'll read one of the books and then we'll watch the movie that we have watched 100 times already. You know,
that is
but
awesome.
He's gotten to a place where the whole literacy, you know, moving to learning to read and reading to learn and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, we're doing the
that
Harry
is really
Potter
cool.
System.
Yeah, fun. My son, he won a Harry Potter lookalike contest when he was a kid. Yeah,
I know
Barnes
your
and
son.
Noble. Barnes and Noble.
And that is a check. Yep.
Barnes and Noble. Handsome young kid takes after his mom, a beautiful woman. Yeah, for sure. All right. Question number two. Here we go. Italian, Asian, or Mexican food?
Gosh, depends on the day. Depends on the day. I love Asian, but I also love Italian.
Yeah.
Mexican. Yeah. I mean, I can eat it.
Sure.
But.
Japanese food is.
I was gonna say, what's the or? Why is there an or in your question?
Yeah.
Just, yes.
I mean, I eat Italian food. Obviously, my wife cooks Italian. I mean, but Japanese food.
Yes, I agree.
Wonderful. Yep. All right. Question number three, Melissa.
I think I know the answer to this one. iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Oh yeah. There's
Android.
There
iPhone. We
Are
talked
you an
about
Android?
This before.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I still
Android
have a
guy.
Hard time with that. It's got to be iPhone.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Son, daughter, wife, all iPhone.
And you know, my dad is that way too.
I'm a holdout.
My dad is that way too. Everybody has iPhones except for him.
Well,
I feel like it's because he doesn't want us to be able to track him down, you know?
Is that what it is?
I think that's what it is.
Anonymity?
Doesn't want to know where you are.
Right. We've got everybody else trackable. And he's like, nope, not me. I'm going to stick with the Android.
Yeah. I have an Android phone for work. Thus, I have an Android phone for my personal life because I don't want to change platforms.
All right.
Yeah. I think it makes sense to me. I don't know if it makes sense to others.
If you say so.
All right. Favorite subject in school?
English.
Really? Nice.
She's a reader.
English.
Yeah, because you're a reader. Yeah. English. How about you, Melissa?
I'd have to go like towards the college years because, yeah. you know, the high school.
Yeah.
Stay away from that. And I'm thinking like all of my poli-sci classes. I loved anything that had to do with political science.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. If it was high school, it would have been none for me, would be my response. When I got to college, I really was fascinated with the criminal justice classes.
Mm-hmm.
Intrigued by them, actually. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Makes sense. All right. Question number five, Melissa. And I think we're going to wrap this up.
One item on your bucket list. Just one.
I would love, now I've been to Alaska, but I would love to go back to Alaska and do the inside on the train and stay there in Denali Park.
Wow.
Yes, we got married on a cruise in Alaska.
Oh, really?
So yes, we're going back to, and we're going to do that.
Harry's romantic. Nice.
He is.
I don't even know what to do with that.
I think it's
wonderful.
You know
what I mean? I don't even know what to do with that.
I love it.
That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
That's very cool.
Now, your bucket list is to go, I think, every European country.
Yeah, I'm trying to hit them all. I want to hit them all. Yeah. Traveling.
Yeah, and mine is, I think I've talked about it before, visiting every state using an RV.
Yes.
That's an RV?
Yeah.
Oh,
I can't.
Is that bad?
I mean, they're fine, but I like to class it up a bit with a nice hotel.
Oh, okay, is that
it again, Val? Yeah. Oh my gosh!
Nice hotel, beautiful shower.
Okay, if you say so.
It's
thanks,
that RV.
Thanks very much for coming in today. We appreciate.
Thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we really, really enjoyed you. Now, if there's something that is there something that you want the folks watching to know about the 911 center? Is there something you want to share with them, maybe?
Yes, we have National 911 Telecommunicator Week coming up.
Yep.
Very cool.
Starts the 14th through the 20th this year. Our banquet is going to kick it off. We have an annual awards banquet.
Looking forward to that.
And Newport News is hosting this year.
We're very excited about that.
Yes, we are hosting on the 12th, so semi-formal.
Yeah.
Ooh. It'll be a night to celebrate all the dispatchers in the area.
A big to-do.
So we're expecting about 200. Plus.
Yeah. Very exciting. Very exciting.
Very exciting.
Yep. Well, folks, if you don't know it already, and I'll mention it this time, we're on a bunch of different platforms. All the
everywhere.
Ones that I don't use and I'm not familiar with because technology-wise, I'm not savvy. So with that, would you close us out today, Melissa?
If you're watching us on YouTube, please make sure you like us at the bottom. We're everywhere your podcast is. Come back and see us next time. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, everyone.